T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good evening. Jumping off an hour or two. Welcome in. Christian Garrick here with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Logan Falgu at Master Control. Professional wrestler. Taking your phone calls. If you want to talk to the professional wrestler, call me. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you like the NFL's expansion of the postseason from 12 to 14 teams? 7 in each conference. Only one seed in each conference gets the bye week. Think it's good or bad for the popularity of the NFL and the NFL playoffs? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Getting back to Saints head coach Sean Payton. How does he tackle the offseason? We're on 13 here, Logan. Tackle the offseason and maybe the fact that you got to play the game, hey, you might lose some guys to free agency.
You have to realize you take the magnets off your board that were Andrus Peat and Vaughn Bell and David Onyemata. I'm just hitting a few. I'm sure I'll miss one. Drew Brees, if you're not sure. You know, those magnets are gone when you go through that exercise because technically they're out there in you know, unrestricted land. And so you start closely with your own roster, and then you move on to possibly some targeted players that you feel like would fit here, what we're looking for, and specifically a clean vision as to how we want to play them and how we would use them.
Now, Sean is a part of the competition committee in the NFL, and there's a technology called Zebra technology that he feels like is going to eventually be able to determine if the ball crossed the goal line, if the player's knee was on the ground before it crossed the goal line or what have you. Listen to him. This is an extended clip, about 5 minutes and 2 seconds, him talking about Zebra technology.
Zebra's the company that does the barcode, you know, that's on all our package products at the grocery store. All of us have seen, you know, anytime you're scanning a grocery store item or possibly a ticket or anything that would have a barcode on it, there's a good chance that's a Zebra product. And right. they're also tied and work directly with the NFL. They provide, when we see these next-gen stats that, you know, Alvin Kamara ran 21 miles an hour on that play, that's information gathered from, instead of barcodes, the little chips that are in the quarterback's or in the player's, shoulder pads. So Zebra provides that technology, but it also provides us technology to see and study practice workloads, how long guys have been on the field. More importantly, what was their distance traveled, what type of practice they had. You know, for me specifically, it's soft tissue injury prevention, just to pay attention to each player and actually have that data. But it also allows us to scout. It also allows us to look at the other teams, and you could see what personnel, not only personnel, but where these players are aligned. So when I got down to Miami, I met with the Zebra folks and we talked about a few talking points, but one of the topics that came up was, this was a little bit maybe coincidental and partly a big reason maybe why these teams were both in the final game. But what they did a study on is tight end, receiver, and running back. So everyone on offense except the quarterback or the offensive line, and you might call it the offensive skill people if you want to. And so you're combining three position groups here, you know, running back, tight end, and receiver. And those two teams with the Zebra data were the fastest two teams of the 32 teams in the NFL. Now, that's interesting, and it probably hasn't always been the case. You know, generally speaking, you have a team and an identity, and you know how to win, and you win. But when you look at Kansas City, certainly you feel that speed at receiver. I mean, when you watch their tape, and we've had some common opponents, and you watch their offense, you see the speed there. And then when you watch the 49ers, their speed at receiver, but then you feel it at the running back position. and even the tight end position. Shoot, the tight ends for both teams are guys that can run well, and you'd say are in the tops of our league. So it was an interesting side note, you know, as we entered into Super Bowl week, and certainly something that was a good talking point as you're talking to fans about the technology, and it's really just the ability to track and measure, because there's a right. field, you know, every NFL field is kind of marked just like you'd have an invisible fence for your dog. The same thing exists. It's a field that's marked. And so when you enter that field with those chips in your shoulder pad, we're immediately able to track plenty of data. You know, some of it you don't need to use, some of it you want to use. And it's now in the chips are now in the football. I think you're going to see in the next 4 or 5 years that technology evolve to, you know, punts that go out of bounds, or does the ball cross the goal line, or does the ball get the first down? Some of that, you know, you've done this long enough. You know, think about how nebulous it is when a punter punts the ball out of bounds.
Right.
And then the back judge starts walking up the sidelines, and then either the umpire back there puts his hand up when he feels like he's gotten to, you know, that's probably within 5 to 7 yards accurate.
Yeah, he might be off 5 yards.
Yeah, I mean, easily. He could be off 8 yards. And, well, the technology exists right now where we basically can track that within a yard. And so now it's actually applying the technology, and that's a whole different level. You know, how do we apply it quickly and communicate that so that you get a more accurate spot? And then the same way, you know, when the ball crosses the plane, because we've all seen, you know, the replays is of a, you know, a running back. Does he score or does he not score? And you can kind of slow it down, and we all study the knee. We see where the knee's going down. But wouldn't it be kind of neat, just like in the NBA, if you saw the goalposts light up when the ball crosses the plane, and so you see that image, for instance, I'm just using an example.
Right.
You see that image immediately, and now you're looking at the knee, and is it down and there's no light, or is it up? And there, you know, all of a sudden we can be, I think, a lot more accurate with you know, yard to gain or line to gain, whether it's the end zone or for a first down.
Still plenty to come from Saints head coach Sean Payton following our interview yesterday. Got his wedding plans. Are me and Bobby invited to the wedding, and more next here on Sports Talk on WWL. So much was made about Sean Payton's engagement during the football season, right before they played the Atlanta Falcons. Some fans wanted to blame that loss on the fact that Sean Payton was gotten engaged that week. Well, when is the wedding? We asked Coach Payton when that is and if we're invited, me and Bobby.
Listen, I'm waiting first to find out your schedule. Diane's promised she was going to send it to me, and then we're going to schedule it when you guys are both out of town.
Figures. No, Bobby's going to get the invite. I don't need nor expect the invite. Something Sean has talked about in the past, something that Bobby has talked about in the past, and that is the expansion of active game day rosters. You go into the game with 53, and you have 46 active players. 46 active players for the game. Some due to injury are going to sit. Some are healthy scratches. Should those numbers increase, Coach Payton?
The purpose for inactives are to create a level playing field relative to injury. So let's say in week 3 we're playing Atlanta. They're relatively healthy, but we just had 3 players go down in week 2. You know, you don't want to go into the game with one team with all 53 up and the other team. So it gives you that buffer where chances are your injured players are going to fall into your inactive total count. And so currently, the rules that we played under last year was 53 on your total team roster, and then you're turning in your inactives that bring you to 46. All right. So each week, 7 inactives get turned in. I would say team by team, generally speaking, there's a handful of injured players on that list and then a handful of healthy players on that list. But each team plays then with a healthy 46. I mean, rarely do you get past 7 injured players where you have to bring some other people in. And there are certainly exceptions. Now, I don't know the specifics, and I'm not in any of these meetings relative to the upcoming CBA. But I know there's been discussion with the game day. First off, the total roster of 53, And then also what you have available on game day. You know, I think take the offensive line, all right? It's a unique position because, generally speaking, if everyone's healthy, the same five guys play and the backups don't play. Now, they might play on a certain special team or a jumbo role, but it's the one position where, hey, if everyone stays healthy, your five starters are in. And so it's easy then to dress seven. And I would say throughout the league, there are some teams that dress eight. We've dressed eight before if maybe one or two of the starters might be nicked up. You know, you don't want to get caught shorthanded. But when you have seven and you get a guy injured, now you're down to six, and these things happen, and all of a sudden you're down to five. I can recall one time here where, you know, all of a sudden you're thinking, hey, if we get one more offensive lineman injured, we got to play this game here. So it's going to be a tight end going in there, or you're going to be in an unbalanced, but it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people. All right, starting with the quarterback. Right. And so I think that one of the things you could look for is you know, the idea of that game day roster expanding a little bit, and one of them having to be an offensive lineman. Each team has to bring eight, you know, because eight, you're in pretty good shape. You know, it's hard to get past eight offensive linemen. But, you know, when you look at a college game, it's pretty interesting, and you look at the sidelines, shoot, there's 100, 105. You might have some doubled up numbers, you know.
Right.
There's someone else in a number seven or a number nine. There's someone else in the 24. And then when you look at a pro sideline, when one side of the ball's out on the field, it's kind of like crickets over there. You know, you've got,
right,
you know, and you got to play special teams, and you got to. So I think it would be a safe bet that there'll be some changes there relative to health and safety, and that would be something that we would see with the new CBA when in fact when that time comes and when they unveil it.
That was Saints head coach Sean Payton. Now, so much consternation about Sean Payton's seeming unwillingness to be patient with the running game. We asked Coach Payton about that. Here's a long answer in explaining as to sometimes why he necessarily doesn't consciously lose patience in the running game.
If you take the games where, let's say, the run snaps are less than 20, you know,
right,
in other words,
yeah,
they're in the teens.
In the teens.
You're probably then going to turn on that score sheet, and you're going to see 3 of 11 on third down. You know, in other words, you're not converting the third downs, and so you're not having the snaps that you would otherwise. And if you're converting third downs or you're getting first downs on first or second down, you're going to see your pitch count relative to total snaps in a game be high. But you take the Vikings game, for instance, in the playoffs, shoot, our third down numbers weren't good. Our total play count wasn't good. And because of that, you know, your series that you have aren't as long and your drives aren't as long, and you end up with 16 or 15 rushing attempts. And then it looks even more unbalanced because at the end you're throwing it because you have to. And I completely understand the frustration because, look, count me in the middle of that frustration. When you're running the ball now, let's take the other end of it. You have 20, 27, 28, 29, 30 rushing attempts. Then I want to go look at that score sheet, and you're going to see 7 for 12 on third down. You're going to see 8 for 11. You're going to see you're staying on the field. You're going to see total snaps. You know, in other words, total play count for you offensively is going to be extremely high. So anytime where we have one of those games where we have 28 or 29 carries or more, you're going to see our number count on offense be real high. You're going to see us in the 70s, and then you're going to see our defense in the 50s. And anytime you see that run total in the teens, you're probably going to see our defense on the field longer than we want and our offense not on the field as long as we want. So, look, that's not just the end-all, be-all, but there's a lot of times it's the byproduct of how that game unfolded. Certainly it's not what you want it to be. because you want that balance and you want that ability to control the game on your terms.
Right.
And when we've done that, shoot. And so, look, the fan looks at it and says, every time we run that ball 25 times or more,
we win.
Shoot, we win. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. I agree. And that's the trick. So clearly that's been look, for any of our teams that have been really good, and we've had a stretch here with 13 wins, 11 before that, you know, we've had balance. Some games now take on a shape of their own. We played Tampa this year with Teddy, and they were a good run defense, and they were committing a lot of guys to the front. And so it was going to be a long day if we just tried to run handoffs, and we had to beat them at least earlier in the air, and then you're able to rush it later. But oftentimes, if you're just looking at rushing attempts, it's a byproduct of what went on in the game. And so the trick is to get that number where you want, and that requires balance, but it also requires staying on the field with third down. It requires that down to be efficient, and obviously the downs prior to put you in the more desirable third down and distances. So we do a ton of studies on that, you know, how we start games in the first quarter, the first half, the opponent we're playing, what we feel like sequence-wise is going to be important. You know, some teams are glaringly, the stat line jumps off the screen. You know, if you're ahead at the halftime against this team, they're 1-18 over the last 5 years, you know, and so you really pay close attention to those analytics that go into it. But I'm just as frustrated as the fan when that happens, and hopefully more times than not, it's not happening.
That was Saints head coach Sean Payton. You'll hear the entire interview later in the 7 o'clock hour. We will step away and come back and visit with Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Christian Garrick here with you. On the line with us is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots now and two great tropical flavors. Ross, how are you? Thanks for the time.
Christian, awesome, man. What's up?
Doing good, man. We just got done wrapping up an interview yesterday with Saints head coach Sean Payton, and he was with us for 35 minutes. I mean, there was a ton of things that he covered. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk to him about because it happened later after our interview, is the expansion of the NFL playoffs from 12 teams to 14, 7 in each conference from 6. Do you like this new format change proposal?
All right, so there's a couple different ways to look at it, right, Chris? I mean, as a player or former player, you're asking 4 teams to play one more game. So 12.5% of the teams to play one more game, and for doing that, you're putting a ton of money into the salary cap. You know, those two more wild card game weekend standalone games bring in a lot of revenue for the league, which obviously the players get a split of. Sounds like it'll be 48.5%. So from a player's perspective, love it. I'm a broadcaster. I like, you know, more teams having a chance to make the playoffs. I like week 16, week 17, more teams feeling like, all right, they might be able to go ahead and get that 7th seed. Maybe not 6, but they might be able to get that last spot. And I like that we're going to have 2 more games to watch. The 2 concerns I have, and maybe these are positives for the Saints, I don't know, but it makes the number 1 seed, I believe, overly important. So, like, right now, man, the number 1 seed is a big deal. The number 2 seed is a big deal. Not as big a deal, but still a big deal. With this new format, the number 1 seed is everything. And I just don't feel like the number 2 seed is very important. So if there's a team that's just awesome some year, like the Ravens, you know, the other teams aren't really even trying for that much because there's not that much of a difference in my mind between, like, the 2nd or the 4th seed.
Yeah, that's kind of how I viewed it, too. It puts a little bit of an overemphasis on the 1 seed while it diminishes some others. But for me, Ross, I'm a football junkie. Sign me up to watch 6 more playoff games on Wild Card Weekend. I mean, 6 total on Wild Card Weekend. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a single human being I'm aware of that when we get to the playoffs are going to say, oh, man, this stinks that I have to watch two more playoff games this weekend. Exactly nobody would say that. But it also kind of feels to me like, you know, at some point 10 years from now, when they're doing the next CBA, now they'll make the argument, well, it's not fair that only one team gets a bye, and they'll add two more playoff teams. It'll be 8-8. You know that's happening. They're just going to wait till the next one for that.
Ross, were you at all surprised that Drew Brees decided to come back for one more year?
Not really, no. Usually when a guy's not going to come back, they've known that for a while, and they know that. And he's still playing well enough, and the team's good enough. I think it makes sense for one more year. I personally think everything times out perfectly. You know, I think they put the first-round tender on Taysom Hill. I'm not sure why Sean Payton keeps talking about how complicated it is. I put the first-round tender on him. I think he's the heir apparent. You have him in the role he's been in for one more year. Bridgewater walks. You have Brees for one more year. And then everything sort of works out, in my mind, pretty smoothly to cater the offense around Taysom Hill in 2021 if you like him as much as, you know, Sean and everybody seems to like him.
I agree with you about Taysom Hill being the guy, the heir apparent, if you will. But what do you do this offseason? Because the chances of you keeping Bridgewater, if you're the Saints, are slim to none. So, and if you want to keep Taysom in his usual role, you can't really have him as the number two backup behind Brees. Do you expect them to sign a veteran, you know, minimum kind of contract to be a true number two should something happen to Brees where he would play in that game and then Taysom would play in the following game as the ultimate number two? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think they'll sign somebody, but I'm not sure that that person isn't the three, meaning you have the role for Taysom Hill, but if Drew goes down, I think they put Taysom Hill in. I think that that guy's there just in case Taysom gets hurt and Drew Brees gets hurt in the same game. I don't think it's that valuable of a spot. I think it's a guy that you feel like can get you through a game.
What do you think Teddy Bridgewater gets on the open market?
Not nearly as much as there have been reports that he will. You know, if you look at it, you got to tell me the team, man. I mean, you got to tell me what team we're talking about because, you know, the Colts, I think they're going to get Rivers. You know, the Bucks, I don't think so. I think they'd rather bring Jameis Winston back. Maybe the Carolina Panthers, maybe. But I kind of feel like they want to draft somebody. I just don't think that anybody looks at Teddy as the guy for the next 5 to 10 years. I think if anything, he comes in and competes. You know, maybe he competes with the Chargers with Tyrod Taylor until whoever they draft is the starter. Or maybe he does go to Carolina and Carolina gives him a spin for a year to see what he has. And if he's bad or not good enough, they draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next year in Carolina. Maybe Chicago brings him in as Mitch Trubisky insurance, kind of like the Titans did with Ryan Tannehill. But I don't think there's going to be that big of a market for him monetarily.
Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider here on Sports Talk at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. Ross, Joe Burrow, obviously the presumptive number one pick to Cincinnati. If you're the Bengals, are you really entertaining any ideas of trading that pick?
Well, I wasn't until Joe started talking like he might not want to be there. You know, they'll have a conversation at the combine, and I certainly would want to know why he's kind of beating around the bush and talking around it like he is right now. He certainly changed his tune from what it was right after the season when he said he's happy to go anywhere and play football, and if someone's going to give him money, he's happy to go there. Somebody's gotten to him, and he's got some strategy that he's working right now. I'm not personally a big fan of it. If he does not want to play for the Bengals, I can live with that. I absolutely can. I don't have a problem with a player trying to do his best for their career, but then I would just kind of come out and say it. It just kind of feels like he's beating around the bush, and he gets asked about it multiple times. He says, well, it's a long process, and they have their process. And I'll say this to you, Christian. Mike Brown in Cincinnati, he would be number one ranked on the list of owners that would just make you sit out the whole year out of spite.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not logical. He is not rational. He, if they draft Burrow and Burrow tries to play a power play, he might have him sit all year. And maybe then he trades him the day before the draft the next year. But then Burrow just missed out on a lot of money for a year. And if he gets traded, well, where does he get traded? Or if he goes back in next year's draft, I think Trevor Lawrence goes ahead of him. So then he loses money. I would not mess with Mike Brown because it's hard to do things logically with people that aren't logical. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're notoriously cheap. And look, we can go on for days and days about the Bengals organization. Ross, Tom Brady, is he a Patriot or another team?
I think he ends up with the Patriots. Would not be shocked if he went elsewhere. I think Belichick and Brady, if it was just left up to those two, he'd be elsewhere. But Robert Kraft is the difference maker.
Why do you think Belichick's so willing to part ways with him?
Because that's what he's done with every guy ever. I mean, you know, if you look at it, even when I was there, Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy. I mean, you go right down the line. He's moved on. When he feels like it's time to move on, he moves on. I think the only reason why he's not going to move on from Brady is because Robert Kraft really, really doesn't want him to. And Kraft is an unbelievable deal maker. He's the reason why the last CBA got done. And I think the thought of Brady in another uniform is just too much for him.
Ross, do you think the NFL and their intention of trying to legislate more safety in the game has ultimately made it more difficult for the officials to officiate the game?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't really think that's the problem. I think that they've let too many good officials leave. They've let too many good official coordinators leave. They don't use technology as well as they should. It's really disappointing. I mean, it's clearly gotten worse.
Ross, do you think that's the biggest threat to the NFL is poor officiating?
Probably not. And I say that because even when there's bad officiating, and you guys have dealt with it more than anybody else, it just seems like it gets more attention. And it's, you know, I know last year the Saints fans boycotted the Super Bowl, but, you know, there was bad officiating this year again with the push-off by Kyle Rudolph, and everybody still watched. We all just talked about it and said that was bad. They should have called it. But it doesn't – it's almost like nothing can hurt the NFL.
Certainly seems that way. They're almost impervious to heat. Ross, always a pleasure, man. Good stuff. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Christian. Take care, bud.
All right, you too. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots now in two great tropical flavors. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out now at radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Christian Garrick here. I want to talk to you about safety in your family, and it should be top priority. It is in mine, and it should be in yours. And when I need work done to my car, I take it to one place and one place only. That is Fidelis Collision Centers, where I know the repairs will be done right. They also make the entire process super easy. I just drop it off and pick it up. They handle everything in between. Job's done right, and it's not a headache for me. They've got three convenient locations in Slidell, Chalmette, and Metairie. Go see my family at Fidelis Collision Centers. Now, I don't use them because they're my family. I use them because they make it easy and the job is done right. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years. Check them out at Fidelis.com. Logan Falgu at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. All right, now it's, of course, going to refresh its screen. There we go. Do you like the NFL's expansion of a postseason to 12 from 12 to 14 teams? 65% of you voting in our unscientific poll say no. 35% are saying yes. I'm in that minority, 35%. Logan Falgu, the professional wrestler. Did we ever settle on a name for you, sir? Striker. But didn't we leave it up to the audience? And what do we end up with there?
I think my favorite one I got from there was Falgu the
Rugaroo. Okay. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got a lot of years left in me for doing everything. Odds are I've only got to use more than just one name.
That's pretty common, right, amongst wrestlers? They change their names a few times?
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially like right now, you have a lot of wrestlers jumping big promotions who tend to get copyrights on like everything they put on the air.
Yeah. See, the problem, and I think you're a little too young for this movie, the problem I have with Stryker, look, it's your name, but I always think of Airplane. Stryker. Have you ever seen Airplane? Okay. That's what I always think of whenever I hear Stryker, but nonetheless, it's your name. I like Falgu Rugaroo. So right now you're a bad guy?
Yes, I'm a bad guy. I'm security for the head bad guy.
Okay. When's your first match?
Right now, I have been talking with everyone, behind the scenes or anything, and right now it's looking like it's going to be March 21st.
Nice. All right, we'll have to try to keep tabs on you, man. Keep some updates on you and see how you do.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Are you? It's acting.
I know it is, but you don't want to mess up in front of everybody, and you also don't want to make anybody else, You don't want to let anyone down.
No, that's true. That's true.
It's like my first time getting on the air, I was nervous about that, too.
You didn't screw it up. You're a spawn of Joey Falgu. You're going to do fine. Logan, thanks, man. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk to Ali Cosella, birdrights.com. The Pelicans get back from the All-Star break tomorrow against Portland. Look ahead to the second half of the season. Do you think, what you've seen of the Pelicans so far, do you think they're a playoff team? 504-260-1870. Do you think they'll be a playoff team? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. If you just missed it, or if you're just tuning in, I should say, all three parades tonight have been canceled and rescheduled for tomorrow and Sunday. You can check it out, the full details online at WWL.com. So no parades tonight because of weather. Should be good the rest of the way. I think Monday might be a little wet, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday should have good weather. By the way, I'm riding Bacchus on Sunday. Cannot wait for that. Float 17, rider number 6 on a neutral ground side. So if you're out there listening, make up a sign, what have you, I'll throw you something special. So looking forward to my ride in Bacchus on Sunday. Sports Talk rolls on. 2 down, 2 to go here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.